through a series called Back to the Basics and talking about some basic stuff about our faith. I'm wondering if you have someone in your life that is really hard to get along with. I see those hands. And I'm hoping it's not your spouse sitting next to you. I'm just saying. So when I was young, I still have this cousin who loved making fun of me. I don't know why. Why would anybody want to make fun of me? But he did. He called me Socky. There's a whole new story behind that one. But one of the things that he would say is, because he knew I was going into ministry, he would say to me, you know, the only reason people go into ministry is because they're too lazy to work. I kid you not. Because we all know that pastors only work on a Sunday. The rest of the time we're out fishing, or for those that are out whacking balls, golfing. But so a few weeks ago, I'm at this birthday party, and my cousin is there. Now, it's a 80s birthday party, so you got to dress like the 80s, right? And which I think 80s is, I don't see what the difference is between now and then, but anyway, that's another story. But anyways, so he comes in dressed in with this oversized a tourist costume. So it's a costume, it's got a big hoop around it, makes you look like a big tourist, right? A very oversized tourist. And then at the end of the evening, Pastor Les, at the end of the evening, he comes to me and he pats me on my belly and he says, "You don't need a costume. You look fine just the way you are." I'm like, I'm trying. There may be people in your life that are hard to get along with, right? People that may give you a difficult time, and you see them coming, you're going, "Oh dear Jesus, just give me an out." Right? "Oh, there's somebody over there. I'm gone. I'll talk to you later." We may have that. But see, I think God wants us to go more than just getting along with people. I think God wants more from us. And I especially believe God wants more from us when it comes to our relationship with Him, when it comes to spiritual stuff. See, I think, folks, when we look at our Christian faith, it really could be summed up in one word. And that word is relationship. 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 A relationship with God, a relationship with each other, a relationship with the community around. It's about relationships, isn't it? And it has to be more than just getting along. So what I want to do is I want to look at an incredibly well-known portion of Scripture found in the book of Mark. Book of Mark, chapter 12, verse 30 and 31. Now, you know this. And I'm sure you can quote this. As soon as I start it, you're definitely going to be able to quote this. This is what it says. You ready? It says, "Love," ready? "The," come on, you know it, "Lord your God," with what? "All your heart, all your soul, with all your mind, and all your strength." The second is this, "Love what?" "As yourself." There is no commandment greater than these. Father, thank you for your word here this morning. Thank you that you've given us some pretty clear direction when it comes to having a proper relationship with those around and with you. God, as we take time to look into your word here this morning, I pray in Jesus' name that you would help us to understand what our responsibility is. And Father, please, would you speak to the hearts of your people? Would they hear your voice, not just my voice? And God, if there are areas in our lives we need to tighten up in, God, would you show that to us this morning? I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So first of all, you got to love God. You got to love God. And it says you got to love God with all your heart. Okay, let me just remind you, you know this stuff, right? But let me just remind you about a couple things. Loving God with all our heart, it doesn't mean loving God with this pump inside of our body. Let's just be clear. But the heart refers to the physical, the emotional, the spiritual life of a human. Loving God with all of your emotions. When you feel happy, you love God. When you're sad, you love God. When you find out that your cell phone is ringing on the front of your step, you still love God. Who is calling me at 11 o'clock on a Sunday morning? Did you hear that? Okay, can I just remind you that when you come to church on a Sunday, You're supposed to take your cell phone and turn it off. When you are going through challenges in your life, you love God. When you find out that they closed the Fraser River to salmon fishing and the wrath is building up inside of you, you still love God. Listen, the point here is we need to love God with all of our emotions. Truly love Him. Secondly, it says love Him with all your soul. Now, it's not just about soul music. Now, listen, that was great. Has anybody sang What a Fellowship like that before? No, I haven't. Pastor James, I love that. Would we call that soul? Or what would that be? I felt it. It's not about soul music, but it's about the very essence of who you are. Because see, the soul, your soul basically encompasses everything that you are as an individual. It's not just looking at that beautiful exterior of you. That's not who you are, though some of you look absolutely smashing. Some of you didn't do your hair as well this morning as you should, like me. But who we are really boils down to who's inside of us, right? And the Bible takes a look at soul and spirit, and it uses it interchangeably. Let me give you a quick crash course on soul and spirit and who you are. Your soul is everything about the person that you are, everything about your thoughts, your wills, your emotions, everything that is within you. The spirit is that part in you that God will make alive, or God made alive when you said, Lord, I need you in my life. It's that spiritual part within you. And the truth is, outside of Christ, our spirits are dead, right? The Bible tells us that. Our spirits were dead. Our spirits were like a branch, a dead branch that was sitting on the side of the road. And people think they're alive without God, but ultimately the thing that matters the most is dead until God took that branch. And the Bible says He grafted us, our spiritual side, into the vine, into Jesus. He brought us into Jesus so that we can be taking nourishment from Him and we start bearing fruit. Now, I'm hoping you're out there being fruitful, like in a big way. Come on. I'm hoping you're out there, you're doing the things of God, and I'm not talking about just being fruitful and multiplying. I'm talking about being fruitful in the things of Christ and doing the things that God wants you to do. Our soul, we gotta love God with the very essence of who we are. Every part of who we are. And then next one is we got to love Him with our minds. Our mind, we talked about this a little bit, but God wants us to think God thoughts. You hear me? Loving God with what's going on in up here. Now, I talked to the students, the teens last Tuesday night. By the way, I want you to welcome the new youth pastor for now. That would be me. Yeah. For now. But I was talking to the students last Tuesday. They're downstairs, most of them, making soup for you. Hallelujah. But I told them how incredibly important it is that we guard our minds, right? Now, I don't know about you, but every once in a while, if I just kind of like do one of those day things, somebody's talking and they're wah, 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 and your mind just kind of goes. You know what I'm talking about? And you're starting to open your mind to places you just don't want it to go. And there's sometimes when that happens that my mind goes down pathways that it shouldn't be going down. Guard your mind. Guard your thoughts. Love God with your thoughts. I think it's so important, Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, that whatever is true, noble, right, pure, admirable, anything is excellent and praiseworthy, what does it say? Think on those things. Allow your mind to go to God. Love God with all your mind. Love God with all your strength. Strength or might. It's a direct, if you look what Jesus is doing here, He's directly quoting Deuteronomy 6 verse 5, where it says, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. I don't know if you know this, but the New Testament was written in two languages, right? It was written in Greek and Aramaic. And if you were to look at the translation of this word strength, here in the Greek, it means power. But the interesting thing is when you look at the translation in Aramaic, it actually means wealth. I found that really interesting. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and wealth. Now I'm thinking, that makes sense. Because I don't have a lot, so I can love God with everything I got. No, I'm kidding. We are blessed. Blessed beyond imagination. But it means taking what we have and saying, God, I'm giving it to you with open hands. You know what I'm saying? God, what I have, I want you to be welcome to using what I have. See, what we do here on a Sunday with tithing, we're doing you a favor. You can say thank you. You're welcome. You're welcome. We're doing you because we're allowing you to worship God. We truly are allowing you to worship God with a portion of what God has given you. Folks, it's so important that we make our love for God practical. And that's what it's really talking about, all your strength. It's a practical love. Last Saturday, we had a great opportunity, not yesterday, but a week ago, to go out to Cedar Gardens, which is a complex within Surrey. And, you know, I really love that. I love going out there because it's a real practical way of loving the people there. And the fun thing about it was I told the students on Tuesday night, guys, come out to the church on Saturday. We're going to do something for the community. And I thought I told them what we're going to do, but apparently I didn't tell them very clear. They thought we're going to just, you know, go and have a barbecue and have a good time together. But we did a little bit more than that. And they came out. I had a few students come out. I brought them to Cedar Gardens. And it was great having them there because they started doing door-to-door knocking of all the people that live in that complex and inviting them down to the barbecue. And it was incredible to see people start coming out and just interacting with us. Now, see, here's the thing. Something like that is going to cost you. It's going to cost you some time. It's going to cost you getting out of your comfort zone. That's not fun at times, is it? It's going to cost you maybe a little bit of resources because you might have to help out in some capacity and be part of it. But that's loving God. Come on, that's loving God. It's showing practically that we want to love on others. And that, I guess, brings me to my next point, loving others. He says, the second is this, love your neighbor as yourself. Now, seriously, folks, this is a radical commandment because it goes against everything we are as individuals. Because see, here's the thing, we really want to take care of yours truly, huh? Like I'm important here. I got to give up something for someone else. Come on. And it goes against the very sin nature that each of us have been born with. Love others, he says. Love others. Go beyond yourself and begin to love others. And you know what? As crazy as that sounds, it is absolutely what is needed. Back in World War II, there was a number of allies that were taken captive and they were brought into Japan. And in Japan, one of their responsibilities was to build the infamous bridge over the River Kwai. I've got a picture of that here this morning. And so these allies would come together and they worked incredibly hard. And many, many didn't make it as they built this bridge. But what happened as they were living there together in this prison camp is it became a dog-eat-dog kind of existence. So what would happen is that they would take things from each other. They would sleep on their backpack, but people would steal their backpack at night. It was trying to survive even at the expense of somebody else. It was rampant except for one individual. It was a Scottish soldier by the name of Agnes McGilvery. Now Agnes was a soldier from Scotland that was brought to this prison camp, and he saw this whole thing that was going on. But see, in the Scottish army, they were told that you had to take care of your own. You had a buddy that you needed to take care of, and that buddy, they called them muckers. I don't know why, but that's what they called them. They believed it was your responsibility to make sure that your mucker is taken care of, and you're watching out for him. Well, Agnes had a buddy, a mucker that was incredibly ill. And people had given him up. They thought, man, he's not going to survive. Just let him be. Everybody but Agnes. And Agnes saw him and thought, man, I got to take care of this guy. Well, his mucker had his blanket stolen, so Agnes went up to him and gave him his own blanket. His mucker couldn't get up at night or during the day to eat, so Agnes brought him his food and gave him his own food. Over a course of time, his buddy started getting stronger, but one day, Agnes, as he stood there, he collapsed. And he died. And they found out he died because he died of malnourishment. Now, the story doesn't stop there. The other people within the camp, they saw this and they thought, my lands, what are we doing? If this guy could give up everything for his buddy, we can do a little bit ourselves. So they found out there are people in there. There was one guy that was a violinist. Another guy in there that was an orchestra director. They found people that were able to build and fabricate different things. And so what happened, they started getting together. They developed a church within this camp. They called it the Church of No Walls. And they began to have services. They began to have music with homemade instruments. And it was so powerful that history says that even the Japanese guards would come and spend time in the services. They developed a university, a hospital, and a library. The place was transformed. Why? Because one guy decided, I'm going to look beyond myself. Now, you may not find yourself in a prison camp, and I hope you never do. I had another crazy dream last night. Last night I dreamt I was in prison. I don't know why. I get these crazy dreams. It's the pizza that I eat beforehand. But... you may never find yourself in a prison camp, but you may find yourself in a situation where you can make a difference in someone's life, and you can actually save their lives if you're willing to look beyond yourself. And that may not always be easy, folks. It may take some work. It may mean having to sit down and listen to some of the stories like we do at Cedar Gardens. We hear some bizarre stories at Cedar Gardens. I met a guy out there. I was so excited. I met a pastor. I won't tell you from what denomination. But I met this pastor. I'm like, yes! Because I wanted to do Alpha in the complex. So I said to him, what's your thoughts on Alpha? And he says, I don't like it. Oh. He says, well, I just want you to know that I am a very liberal, and he mentioned his denomination. I says, you're a liberal. What does that mean? He says, well, first of all, I believe the first five books of the Bible were not written by Moses. I believe the two accounts of creation happened through evolution. I believe that some of the words of Jesus weren't true. I believe salvation is not something that you experience. It's something that happened at the cross. And when you get baptized, and then you can have... that's when people get salvation. I believe I believe that everybody's going to get to heaven. It doesn't matter if it was Hitler, if it was Stalin, if it was whoever. Everybody's going to get to heaven because God will never turn anybody away. And I'm sitting there and I'm like, okay, scratch Alpha off as far as him helping out. Just saying. And he says, I'm not interested, he says, in debating with you. And I says, I'm not interested in debating either. I says, I want to hear your heart. And it's hard to hear people's hearts when what they're saying is like, ah, it's like a scratching down a blackboard. It's just, ah, you know, but God has called us to listen. Can I tell you some ways that you can love your neighbor? Let me give you a few ways that I found on the internet. First of all, pray. Pray for your neighbors. Pray specifically for them by name. If you don't know their name, maybe it would be a good idea to get to know it. That brings me to the second one. Learn first of all. You can go up to him and say, I'm sorry. I know we've met a few times, but I I forgot what your name is, Tracy. Can you tell me what it, you know, and we can ask them, but learn not just about your name, but start to learn about them. Be interested in them. Thirdly, give. Give. I love the neighbors right next to us. They're a Sikh family, and they have this great garden. And they always give us a lot of vegetables. Oh, hallelujah. For zucchinis. I mean, I didn't know zucchinis could get that big, right? And so we, in turn, we trade for smoked fish if I ever get any, which I can't this year because the river's closed. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 16 says this, and I want you to get this. It says, giving a gift can open doors. Giving a gift can open doors. It gives access to important people. Get to your Bible. If you don't have your Bible here on Sunday, shame on you. Bring it. But go to your Bible and underline that. Proverbs 18:16. It can open doors. Fourthly, serve. Now, I've said this before. Be willing to serve beyond yourself. Be willing to be involved into your local schools or the stock shelves at the food cabinet or go out there and be involved in Cedar Gardens, if nothing else. Be willing to serve wherever God opens up a door for you. That's loving. That's loving people. 50, be willing to call. To call. We still have phones. Some of us still have landlines. Okay? You know, did you know that statistically speaking, 1 in 4 homes in your neighborhood are single people, single individuals. 1 in 4. So they're alone. Now, I don't like being alone for a long period of time because speaking to myself, people start to wonder. I'm wondering about people that live alone all the time. Who do they talk to? Who do they have to communicate with? Maybe use a conversation starter. I got a few of them. I haven't seen you for a while and wondered how you're doing. I really enjoy talking to you. What have you been up to? I'm going to the store. Can I pick you something up? Are you ready for Easter? Are you ready for Christmas? Are you ready for Thanksgiving coming up? Ask especially elderly folks. Especially elderly folks. Hey, winter's coming. So are you prepared? Is your heat working? Are you warm enough? Do you have enough food? Make a phone call. It doesn't take long. It doesn't take long. And it's good to have that communication. Number 6, help. Do your neighbors a favor. I don't know what it's like in your community, but we have garbage cans up front on Thursday mornings. And sometimes my neighbors are gone. Be willing to put it out for them. Bring it in. Whatever you can do to help. When you're shoveling your driveway, this is going to kill you. It won't kill you. It'll make you stronger, right? Go over and shovel a walkway at least for them. But be willing to help in some capacity. So do what you can to help. Where am I at? Number 7. Oh, I like this one. Eat. Hallelujah. We all like to eat. You know what I love doing is we have a number of people in our community that are Indian. And they love drinking chai. I love chai. By the way, if you make chai, just invite me over because I do like a good cup of chai. And I love sitting down with them and just having a cup of chai and enjoying a cup of tea together. And inevitably, stuff starts coming out. We talk about where they're at and challenges. Be willing to take time to even eat or play is number 8. Not just with your kids. Do activities, games, go to the park, do something together. Number 9, write. Write a card. Send a text message or just a note. Be willing to... Silly little things. My neighbor next door to us, their dog passed away. Now, to some of us, we're like, whatever. But to dog lovers, that's big. Especially if you had a dog in your family for 13 years, right? And so I sent them a little card and said, hey, listen, I know it's been tough. We and I gave them a card. Be willing to do these little things. Number 10, host. Invite someone over to your home. I love going to James's place because he's got this fire pit sitting up front, and he's known as the fire pit guy or something like that in the community. They all kind of gather around, especially wintertime. Be willing to invite people into your home. They won't destroy your home if they're not believers. They're not going to bring demons in with them. I guarantee you that. You'll actually start to make friends. And that's a good thing. So be willing to love practically. Lastly, love God. Love who? Others. Love who? Others. There you go. And lastly, now love yourself. Now you're thinking, this is not certainly not something that Scripture should be talking about, but it certainly does. Jesus saw it as being important. Loving your neighbor as what? Now, this isn't about... Now you can go to the next slide. You know these two guys, right? The one is Reggie from Archie Comic Books. And he's got this thing about me. And you know who's the guy on the right? Gaston from Beauty and the Beast. I mean, he's just the world revolved. It's not about looking at yourself and saying, hey, 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 right? But it's about having a good, honest opinion of yourself. By the way, I'm wondering what, again, I've said this before. What do you see when you look in a mirror? You go, ah! Or do you go, ah? Oh. Or do you go, ah? Oh. What do you see? I love the scripture in Psalm 139. You know it well. Verse 14. It says, I praise you because what? Okay, say that again. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Fearfully doesn't mean fear, but having an understanding how incredible God created us to be. Let me give you some facts that I found really, really hard to believe about you. About when you look at yourself in the mirror, here's some things you may not know about yourself. I found this on a website called ASAP Science. You can go to that next slide. And this is what it says. It says your body is made up of 7 trillion, count it, 7 trillion atoms. That's 7 with 27 zeros behind it. It's a lot of atoms. There's a lot to you, okay? There are 37 trillion cells in your body. They're in your stomach. There's a liquid called stomach acid. That acid is so strong it can dissolve metal. But I don't have stomach acid leaking out of my belly button. And that's pretty wild, right? There are a trillion nerves powering your memory. Sometimes I just wish I could grab a couple of them because my memory is all over the place. But you have that many nerves in your memory. Your eyes can distinguish, listen, your eyes can distinguish 2.3 to 7.5 million different colors. Did you know there's that many colors? I didn't either. And your eyes can distinguish them. Is that not wild? Your nose, now get this. Your nose can differentiate between 1 trillion different smells. Now, did you know there's a trillion smells out there? That's supposed to be smells. It's not something coming out. It's something going in there. Just saying. Just saying. Your fingers, listen, your fingers can feel a ridge as small as 17 nanometers in size. Now, to give you an example of how big that is, it's 7,500 smaller than the diameter of a human hair. Did you know that? I didn't. I didn't know my fingers are that incredible. Your heart beats 100,000 times per day, pumping 5.5 liters per minute, which adds up to 3 million liters of blood a year. That's a lot of blood. That's a lot of pumping. No wonder sometimes our heart gets tired. God has made an incredible body. And listen to this. This is amazing. Your femur bone. You know where your femur bone is, right? It's that bone that goes from here, Dr. Isaac, right? From here down to here. That's from your pelvis down to your kneecap. Your femur bone, if you weigh about what I weigh, I'm not going to tell you what I weigh, but if you weigh about 185 pounds, And you have about a size 11 foot. Okay, listen to this. Now, I didn't make this up. Okay, this bone could withstand. Now, that doesn't mean you're going to have people standing on your leg. But if you put that bone down, it could withstand. You ready for this? 16,000 people standing on it. That bone. I sat there and I go, God, this is incredible. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. Fearfully and wonderfully made. I find it interesting that so-called scientists, they're not scientists, will say it just kind of came about. Are you kidding me? How intricate is our body? What do you see when you see, look at yourself? Hey, by the way, I got one more here. If the DNA in your body was uncoiled, if I could take all the DNA and lay it out and uncoil it, did you know that it would travel, are you ready for this? In your body alone, it would travel 10 billion miles. If you could do it, it would travel to Pluto and back. And each piece of that DNA has a little code on it. God has made you wonderful. How do you look at yourself when you look at yourself in the mirror? He says, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. See, sometimes when you look in a mirror, when I look in the mirror, we see our flaws and we see the things that we don't like and we focus on that, don't we, at times? God sees a masterpiece. He sees something he's very, very proud of. I remember when I was working at in the group home, working with Mentally Challenged, before I started there, somebody came up to me. I was going through the interview process. Some of you know this story. I was going through the interview process, and one of the ladies interviewing me, she asked me this, what's your thoughts about mentally challenged people? And I said, you know what? I believe God does not make mistakes. I said, I'm a Christian. I don't believe God makes mistakes. And you know what? I believe with all my heart, no matter where a person is at, they are precious in God's sight. We had a gal in our group home, and she could do nothing for herself. She just sat there. You heard the story. She just sat there, and she couldn't feed herself. She could not do nothing. But she brought us together as a staff. We would sit down and we would feed her. We would spend a couple of hours feeding her. And as we did, we would talk together. It was an incredible time. There is no accidents here, folks. But see, here's the thing. When it comes to relationships, when it comes to your relationship with God, it's got to be practical. You got to be living it out. When it comes to your relationship with others, you got to be showing it. You got to be expressing it in some capacity. When it comes to the way you view yourself, you have to have a healthy view of yourself and say, God, how can you use this to be a blessing to someone else? Well, one of the things that we do here at Spa Church is we love to bless others. We love to be involved. And I love missions. I bleed missions. I think missions are an incredibly important part of the DNA of a church. If we don't have missions, we got a problem, because then we become very self-consumed. Then we become like a Reggie or like a Gaston, where we look at ourselves and go, how great I am. Missions is looking beyond ourselves and looking out and seeing what we can do to help others. Today is Mission Sunday, and we want to talk about a missionary that we are sponsoring. And Pastor Les, what are we doing? How can we do more? What's involved in this? Why don't you come up and chat this time?